You're listening to the Love is Black podcast.
We're the host of Fly.
The love is dope.
And the conversation's always 100. Welcome back to your favorite podcast. It is Love is Black. I am Harvey.
And I'm Carice.
And another episode of this season, season 3. Fun. I'm enjoying it. And we're going to talk about subject matter that I love. We're going to get into it.
You know what I'm thinking is that we actually didn't introduce ourselves on the last episode.
Did we not?
We didn't do the whole, you know, I'm curious, I'm Harvey type thing.
Okay. I mean,
that's weird, right?
Yeah.
So now we're coming back to it. We should have just either left it or like.
So never say our names again.
Right.
Just leave it in limbo. Exactly. Like there's that dude and then his and some girl. And
exactly.
Talking about stuff.
Exactly.
I like that.
Can we name the podcast Some Dude and Some Girl?
Some Dude and Some Girl. Him or her. We use our pronouns. How about that?
No, just some dude and some girl.
Some dude and some girl. They're just talking about stuff. Okay. On our next episode. Okay. So yes, we're having fun already. So like I said, we are getting into a subject near and dear to my heart. As a Black father, I pride myself on taking care of my kids and being in their lives and just everything that comes with being a parent. So I'm particularly, I don't know, it bugs me when I hear how Black men, how fathers in general are portrayed. So when I was looking for, you know, who to talk to for this season, I'm like, I need a Black dad. I need probably a single Black dad. And I found a single Black dad.
You found the single Black dad.
The single. Yes. His name is Jamal Peoples. Welcome to the podcast. How
Thank
are you?
You? I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you all for reaching out.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad we had a chance to get you on and talk. Yeah. We talking daddy talk. We getting in it. So
thank you for joining us. I feel like a third wheel.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. A mother.
No,
you're welcome. No. Shocker. You know. So while I was on Facebook and I was looking, I found you and I think what came up was your page. But you started with a lot of Facebook posts and just talking about being a dad. So give us a little insight into you, Jamal. Tell us about how it came to pass that you decided to start posting on Facebook and talking about life.
Well, probably about two or three years ago, actually. I was just talking to some friends of mine and they were like, are there any resources or any kind of blogs or stories out there, single Black dads, because we hear all the negative stuff, right? We hear all the Black men don't raise their kids and all that kind of mess. And so I went online and I typed in to Google single Black dads or single Black fathers, and I saw a whole lot of negative, but I didn't see any positive. And so I started to make my, so I was like, I mean, surely there's got to be other people out there that have the same kind of stories as me. So let me share my stories out there and see if there's anybody else that's going through the same things I'm going through. And that's how my blogs came up. So I started just writing blogs about just everyday stuff that I was encountering, not being a single dad, like doing my kids' hair and boyfriends and then dating on my own as a single father. So I just started, that's how it just came to be.
Cool. Excellent.
I'm not even ready for some of those topics you just
said. and we have to deal with them. But
you know.
Yeah, sure.
So at first you did it just to kind of put it out there, put a nice positive spin on Black fatherhood. As you were writing them, what was it like? Was it therapeutic? Was it, you know, surprising? How did you feel as you sat down and you kind of putting your life out into the world to be read?
It was very therapeutic, actually. I didn't realize how therapeutic it was until I actually was doing it and actually got into it. So like, for example, when I would write blogs about dating, people, you know, men and women, single for mothers and single fathers would reach out to me and be like, yeah, man, I'm going through that same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so it was nice to know I connected with people on that level, but just to kind of just get it out there, get it off my chest and have people just to know that, you know, somebody else is going through that stuff it just made me feel better about my own situation.
That's good. That's good. So how do you feel? I mean, it's, you didn't do a lot of writing, you didn't do a lot of blog work before that. So this was your first, you know, your first time really getting to that. How do you feel you were as a writer when you first started? What kind of, how were you, nervous at the keyboard? What were you thinking when you started doing it?
Not really. I've never really been one of those kind of people that didn't have, that couldn't put my thoughts onto paper on the screen. Okay. I guess my father's a Baptist preacher, so I could be kind of, wordy if I want to. Mm-hmm. But so I never had a problem with vocabulary. But so it was just, it was never like, so I would just think of a topic maybe in an everyday life. I was like, I'm blog about this. And then I would just sit down and I would write. That's how it came to be.
Okay. All right.
That is awesome. When did you think it started, like, really picking up? About how long after you started did you start to develop your following?
Probably about after about 3 or 4 months. Because what I would do was I would write a blog post, post to my website, and then I would write an ad on Facebook, and then run the ad on Facebook, and then I would run the ad, and then that's how I would get more followers. And so, I mean, I'm not selling nothing, so I was like, yeah, you know, $20 here, $20 there to boost a post on Facebook to get people to follow what I wrote. Because at first it was just for me. I had planned on writing a book. I hadn't planned on making any kind of money off of it. I just wanted people just to hear my story. So it was worth $20 every couple of weeks to get it out there.
Very nice.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you get to connect with any fathers or parents in general, in particular? Did like people reach out to you?
Yeah.
Kind of tell their stories? Any good ones you can kind of relay to us?
Yeah.
Give us something.
Just like, just people. I mean, honestly, I had a lot of people reach out to me, like other single dads that would reach out to me that would be like, I wish that I could have, I mean, I wish that, like, you saying exactly what I'm going through, right? So, and it was really cool to connect with other people like that, you know, and people in other parts of the country that I ain't ever met. You know, I'm in Iowa. And okay. So other people from all over the country that would reach out to me, and I ain't talking about thousands and thousands of people. It's right. Like, you know, every once in a while I get a message in my inbox and I'm like, hey, you know, I read your blog, it was awesome, or a comment, you know, stuff like that. That made me feel good to connect with people like that. That's
good. You said Iowa, and immediately I thought, like, what is the melanin count?
Is you and the kids, is that that's the population?
There are 15 black people and we have a separate doctor. That's why I'm in the house right now. So I live in a town called Cedar Rapids. Okay. And it's the second largest city in Iowa. Cedar Rapids has a decent amount of black folks here. We're only about a 3-hour ride from Chicago. Okay. So you have a lot of cats out here. I grew up in Gary, Indiana, which is next to Chicago. So there are a lot of cats out here from Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Louis. That's like that.
Okay.
All
right.
Nice. Sorry, I interjected with my melanin.
No, you fine.
No, it's a valid question.
Don't worry. Everybody asked me that same question. Like, oh my God, you live in Iowa. How did that happen? Right. Trust me. It wasn't for the weather.
I want a map if I needed to. But.
Right. It's flyover country. It wasn't for the weather and it wasn't for the nightlife that I moved out
here. Gotcha.
All right. So I don't know. I'm going to ask questions. For me, I enjoy being a parent. I enjoy mm-hmm. being a black parent.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that annoyed me, and I think I'm a stay-at-home dad, by the way, just
okay.
So one thing, since I'm home and I kind of got to see morning television and stuff for a while, mm-hmm. or just mm-hmm. TV in general, it started mm-hmm. to annoy me to see how fathers, black fathers, represented on TV.
Yeah.
Either mm-hmm. we're like, we didn't show up, or we, you know, we had sex and then before the baby was born, we were gone.
Right.
We're not in shows, we're a mess. In commercials, we don't even exist.
Right.
You know,
right.
All that stuff used to bug me. I'm not babysitting my child. Mm. Like, I'm not all these little comments
mm. yeah. that
people say, I don't know, maybe they're meant to be negative and such. I don't know, maybe I'm, I don't know, hypersensitive about it. Hypersensitive
about his feelings.
Maybe I am, definitely. But
I get it.
So, I mean, is that something you've noticed?
Yeah, absolutely. I obviously, because of my book, I mean, I'm on social media a lot. And, you know, sometimes people will post or they'll say things about single moms go through this, single moms go through that. And I was like, you know, single fathers go through the same stuff too. Mm-hmm. It ain't like y'all got a monopoly on crazy stuff. Men go through the same stuff too. Or just like how we're represented in television and also film and stuff like that. I mean, for example, my website is called singleblackdad.com. I was highly, highly surprised when I went out to go get my domain name for my website that Single Black Dad was even available.
Right.
Mm.
So that tells you something right there, that in 2019, when I started my website, nobody had the forethought to write a website that's called Single Black Dad. That some dude in Iowa had to get that domain.
Right?
So again, that just goes to show you that, you know, and I know the single fathers that are Black as well, and most of us just kind of just keep our heads down and just live life. You know what I'm saying? We work to take care of our kids, and that's it. We're not as loud or as vocal as single moms may be, or we're not that minority of deadbeat guys that everybody complains about, that we gotta, you know, we don't feel like we really need recognition. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know. Yeah. Yes, I feel some type of way. I get you.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So yeah, all up in my feelings, but he understands.
I get it.
That's what's up.
I'm not there. I'm not part of that boy club.
So. Mom. Everybody loves mom. You know? So we're different. I mean, three daughters here and a son, mm-hmm. and with you, all girls, right?
I have two daughters. Yep.
You have two daughters. All right. So if you can kind of give us a little something. You got a story or two about raising your girls. Give us, yeah, let's tease this so people pick up the book and hear it. Give us some. Go ahead.
Probably the most commented on story that I had in my blog, my book and my blogs were the first time my daughter had her period.
Hmm.
My bold daughter, she had her period first time. I was completely and totally clueless. Had no idea. Because her mom, like my daughter's mom and I, we ain't friends. Let's put it like that. And so when my daughter had her period, like I, you know, she was like, Dad, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I don't know what to do either. So I went to Walmart, and I ran to my buddy's girlfriend, and I'm like, hey, can you help me get some pads? My daughter, she's having her period. And she was like, I can't help you. I wear tampons. And I was like, I don't know. So I did what anybody I thought in that situation would do. I grabbed every pad pack, every pad pack, hot, heavy days, light days, wings, without wings. I had like $60. worth of pads in my cart, and I bought it with a smile. And I came home, and I was like, baby, here you go. Here's the pads.
You threw her a bag of feminine products.
Here you go. Here you go. Have at it. And she was like, okay, Dad, I'll figure it out.
So, right? She probably called a friend.
I don't know if she called a friend. She was 12 at the time, and so she was kind of like, she's probably, I mean, my kids, God bless their heart, they can't really help her. I lost you. I'm sorry. I think I'm back again. That's my.
There we go.
I'm in Iowa, so you know our internet connection goes to like 16 cornfields and like over two rivers.
Wow.
So, no, I'm sorry about that. My fault.
That's cool.
But buying past my daughter was definitely probably the most traumatic experience of my single father.
Oh.
Yeah, we know that's a good one.
No.
Oh, okay. I know that's a big deal. Lucky for me, you know, happen to have mom here. So, you know, something that comes about. Yeah.
Hey. That's the thing. You can tap out.
Exactly.
You know what? You got this. Tap out.
All you, baby. All you. Yeah.
That's all you.
So I personally feel like we jump forward without jumping back a little bit. Okay. So you have the two kids. How old are they? And do you have full primary custody of them? Is it a shared situation?
So they are now, my oldest daughter, she's 15. Her name is Ayana. And my youngest daughter, her name is Amani. She's 11. She'll be 12 next month. They have two different moms. My oldest daughter's mom and I, we have joint custody, but I have primary care, but pretty much it's just me. My youngest daughter's mom, unfortunately, she passed away in 2012. And so that's how I came to be a single dad. So in 2012, in that July, I ended up going to court to have the custody of my oldest daughter. And then my youngest daughter's mom passed away that December. So I went from not being to being a non-custodial parent at the beginning of the year to being a single dad at the end of the year. So that's how I became a single dad.
With primary care, that is quite a learning curve to get adjusted to after, you know, not having full custody.
Yeah.
What was that time period like? How did you overcome that?
Just like by recognizing small victories. Remember, my parents always said that you have to, if something seems too big for you, you have to pat yourself on the back for small victories. The first small victory I had was when I got their insurance right. I had to get their health insurance. They were both in their mom's policies. And so it took a lot. When I finally got the health insurance right, I was like, praise Jesus, I got it done. And I had to move on to something else, right? So it was just by recognizing small victories. And then also I'm dealing with the fact that my youngest daughter, she was 3 when her mom passed away. And so I had to deal with her grief, my grief, my oldest daughter's grief. And then I was still fighting custody battles with my oldest daughter's mom. It was just a real, real rough time. So once it was all over the next year, I think in 2014, we got all through it. We were just able to relax and just take vacations. We just took a bunch of vacations just to enjoy each other's time.
That's good.
That's much needed time because it's a hard time and it's rough, but you kind of almost have little micro traumas that come along with that type of grief and life change, right?
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So in that time, I'm sure while you're adjusting to something new, you're all still really sensitive to the situation. And so I admire the fact that you were able to make it through that and, you know, come out stronger on the other side. That is fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I used to see it like I had a choice. I didn't want my daughters to be anywhere else other than with me. And so you got to make it work.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be without them and they didn't want to be without me.
Yes.
That's it. As a parent. And that's what we are. Above all things.
Make it work.
We're parents to take care of our kids. Yeah. Do you feel like while all that was going on, did it enhance this relationship? I mean, obviously you're going through a lot. Do you feel like there was a noticeable change in the relationship between you and each daughter and then each of you together? Do you feel like, how do you think, I mean, you guys came out of it, which is great. Is there like a noticeable difference because?
Yeah, it was, we became a lot closer. I mean, because for years, it's just been us three. Yeah, I've had different females, you know, a couple of different females here and there, but for the most part, it's been just me and Bill. And so I try to keep, you know, I never wanted to be one of those fathers that was that, or those parents that had their head in the sand, that couldn't listen to what their kids were saying to them. Or if they try to say, hey, I need help with A, you're not saying, oh, I can't hear that. I don't know what's going on. So I just try to keep an open line of communication with them. Do they always take it? No, but they know that it's still there for them And I think that's helped a lot with our relationship as I got, especially as I've gotten older.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned a little bit about dating in there. What is it like dating as a single parent in the world?
Crazy. Crazy. I was telling somebody else, there are two sides to every single parent. There's a side of you with your kids and a side of you without your kids. And when you meet somebody, you have to have somebody that likes both parts of it. Otherwise, it's not gonna work. So because Dad Jamal is a lot different than when I'm not Dad Jamal. And I've had people that have been in my life that have liked the Dad Jamal, but not like the other kind of Jamal, or people that have been really close to my children. And I'm kind of like, yeah, you know, get on down the road. So it's tricky trying to find a mix, an even mix of both. And then usually, because a lot of times it's hard, because I'm 43. And so most people that I date will have kids as well. Because most people, women don't want to, you know, that are 40, don't want to date a man that got kids. So then you got to deal with that dynamic. They crazy kids sometimes. So it's a challenge. Let's just say that.
Imagine. How do you think your daughters would be, I mean, are they receptive to the possibility of maybe you finding somebody and, you know, having a girlfriend, maybe wife? Are they protective?
They're very protective. They'll cuss my throat. They are very, very protective. But with that said,
interesting imagery, because I imagine, like, you know.
Yeah, they
that's
they,
my daddy.
Right, that's my daddy, girl. You know? So yeah, they are mostly for the fact, because especially they get older, they know that. Just like with the past situation, they know there's some things that daddy just can't do, right? And so they want to, so that they kind of want to reach out and maybe have somebody to do that. On the flip side, though, sometimes if you have a relationship and it ends or whatever, sometimes your kids are kind of like, you know what, we just kind of good. So they struggle with that. With a, it's just good being us, and that wanting of somebody else to kind of be that female role model that they're looking for. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, but it ain't no fun. Especially in Iowa. It ain't no fun. It ain't no fun in Iowa. It ain't no fun.
Well, the next hurdle outside of dating, I'm curious what you do with hair. So this stay-at-home dad here does not do hair at all. Like, doesn't even brush it up to make it look nice.
Oh, you guys too, man. You read that chapter about the hair monster I wrote in my book, right? See, yes, you got to at least try.
Yeah.
You got to
see. Now you got to tell me what you do.
You got to at least try. Well, I can tell you what I did, because now that my daughters are like, you know, 15 and 11, they don't let daddy touch their hair. They don't. They say. Oh, the only hair interaction I have with them now is me taking them to the hair store to buy hair and other hair supplies for other people to do their hair. That's the only interaction I have right now. But when they were little, I mean, I didn't have no clue. And so, like, God bless, you know, old church mothers. I would go to church sometime, and so a small church mother would be like, oh, baby, your daughter has really, really pretty hair. Knowing the hair looked like who did it and what for. And so that was their way of saying, your daughter's hair looks like garbage, dude. You need to figure this out. That's how old church mothers do you. They won't come out and be like, you know, they won't cut your throat, but they'll say that. Then I'm like, yeah, she does have pretty hair. Oh, maybe I should get it done. Got you, mother. Mother Jones. Got you, Mother Jones. Got you. So I watch YouTube videos. I have a sister that lives in Georgia. We would go down there and she would touch me and do some things. But like, to this day, I cannot get a straight part to save my life.
It's a struggle.
It is a struggle. I can't do it.
A legitimate struggle.
Can't do it.
I feel you. Don't even feel bad about that.
Yeah, I don't. And I think once my kids got to like middle school, well most of my daughters got to middle school, then she was like, you know what, don't touch my hair. I was like, and I felt some type of way. I was like, you don't want daddy to do your hair no more? She's like, no, daddy.
I got this. So it was nice while it lasted, but no.
Yeah. So I try.
Special moments. Yeah. You combed it yesterday, but today, no.
Yeah. She let me down gently. She didn't. Wasn't no screaming. Yeah. She's like, no, daddy, I got this. I was like, okay, baby. Okay. That's how I know my services were no longer needed.
So, as they get older, and obviously they're gonna go out there and they're gonna date. What's that like? How are you feeling watching that? Either it's now or it's eventual. How are you going to be able to handle that and watch them grow up and blossom and socialize with them boys or whomever?
Oh my God.
So my oldest daughter, she's had, this is my philosophy. I don't try to preach this philosophy to anybody else, but like when she was in eighth grade, she got a little boyfriend, right? And I told her, and I kind of set her down, and I was like, look, maybe we don't call him your boyfriend. Maybe we call him just your friend.
That part. Your
special friend, right? She was like, okay. And I guess he ended up causing her to like to sneak out the house one time, and then I had to bring up a rather guy to her and stuff like that. Yes, exactly. But I was like, this. So anyway, after it was done, I was like, well, look, this is a lesson for me. Don't let any man take you out your space of what you know is right. Don't let any man do that. That's a life lesson. And so it was a good, even though I didn't want it to happen like that, I'd really not rather not talk a lesson like that. I'm glad it happened. Now she's got a little boyfriend. She got, no offense, she got a little white boyfriend.
Okay.
And the sad part about it, I thought about this a couple days ago too. I was like, and she's been with the little boy for about 18 months, actually, which is like dog years and like teenage relationships.
Yes.
Wow. And I was like, wow, you have had a long relationship that I've had in a long time. My daughter's relationship is longer than what I've had in a long time.
Wow.
And I felt some type of way about that. But he's a cool dude. His parents are cool. His parents are really cool. I can cook a little bit. So every time I make greens, he's like, he wants to play the greens. Every time I make greens for him. So I make greens for him and everything. Cool little dude. His name is Nick. So he's a cool little dude.
Okay,
yeah. Nick.
All right. Yeah. So, all right. I mean, he's pretty respectful. He fears me. I have another cousin that lives here that's pretty ghetto. He fears him too. You know, the dudes.
That's all you need, honestly. It's the fear. The family that's like,
if something goes down,
like, look,
right, exactly.
I will call Ray Ray. You don't want to call Ray Ray.
That's kind of how it is. He came over to the house one time. We was all sitting, me and my guys was all sitting on our porch, you know, playing dominoes. You know, it was a nice summer day. And he came over. I don't think he ever saw like six black dudes play dominoes like that, but he'd probably have a Chicago moment in his mind. He was like, you know what? This is how it goes down. Maybe I should be on my best behavior. And ever since then, we've had no problems.
It shall continue as such.
So he's got that healthy fear. Healthy fear is not bad.
Oh, no. It's really good, actually, for the kids, too, for just your own daughters, our children, just to have some general type of fear.
Right, exactly. Yep, healthy fears. Obviously, the parents that they have over kids, but outsiders, especially one of them, my daughter, have healthy fear. You may not know what I might do, but why find out?
Exactly.
So...
I like that. Healthy fear. I think that's good.
Healthy fear. Healthy fear. Yeah. Healthy fear is definitely it. Anyway.
Very nice.
Agreed. Yeah. So as we kind of wind down here, is there anything that maybe will be coming up in the future? Any events with your girls? Anything that's going to happen that you're concerned about? Anything you're preparing for as a parent? I mean, you've gone through a lot, but
anything? Homecoming.
Okay.
My daughter, she's a sophomore this year. Obviously, last year, because of COVID, they couldn't do a lot of dances. This year, they could do a homecoming. And so she told me a couple days ago, she's like, Daddy, I got homecoming coming up. And I was like, how old are you again? So I was like, she's like, well, I need my dress, I need my shoes, I need my hair done. And I'm just hearing like the cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching going off in my head. But then I'm also gonna feel some type of way, because then next year is prom, and then next year is another prom, and then graduation. So this is just one of those things where I'm like, man, my kids are really, really growing up. So that's what we got coming up next.
Yeah, they say that the days are long, but the years are short.
That is very true. Very, very true.
You just got to appreciate some of these times. And sometimes you might just have to spend a little bit of extra money. We've had a whole lot of conversations. Prepping for prom.
No. This woman is frugal, but when it comes to prom and all that, all of a sudden, money is no problem. Yeah. I say we find a really nice dress, because there's three of them. Maybe the first one wears it.
I like that. I like that optimist, that glass half full. I like that out of you. I like that. Right? That ain't gonna happen.
But he tried it.
More power to you.
The worst that can happen, she could say no. But yes,
she could. She will say no.
Exactly. So it's already been said. We're not even there yet.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, she's prepared to spend whatever it takes. These girls have a dress that nobody else in the county is wearing.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Must travel for a dress.
Yes. To wear once.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel too. I mean, but at the end of the day, like, you know, my kids, they got a way of like, I don't know, you got to go to sometime, Harvey, too, where your daughters can just give you that look. Mm-hmm. Give it a little twist of the head, you'd be like, all right, man, let me open my wallet. What you need? Here you go. They get that like once every blue moon, but they know when to use that golden ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Daughters know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They do. They are manipulative.
Yes. real slick with it. Real slick.
Manipulative little people.
We have actually one daughter, and I'd be interested to know if you have this same thing too. But out of our three girls, our oldest daughter, we're actually a bit concerned for her future boyfriends or some whatever. I would empathize deeply with whoever that child is, because that child is going to be miserable for some time trying to deal with this little girl. So I don't know. Do you have one of those types of kids?
I got two of them. Well, the crazy part about it, I mean, this, I'm not trying to say the suggestive bullshit thing, but obviously when I got my kids, like I was a single dude. So, I mean, I would have like, you know, I would keep the girls away from the girls, but my kids, at the end of the day, they wasn't dumb. And so they were like, so my daughters came to me one day, they're like, Daddy, we ain't never gonna let any dude do you like you did some of these girls. And I was like, I feel so, so sorry for the dudes y'all date, because they're gonna be like, you know what? My daddy did this. Nope, I see this coming from a mile away. It ain't gonna be my story, whatever, whatever. So, and that's why I think my daughter has been with that one guy, Nick, for so long, because she run him. if he was sitting right here, he'd be like, yep. I remember one time I was walking past the room, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and I went downstairs to get something to drink. And I walked past her room, and she was on her phone. I could hear her, and she was being loud and cussing. And I was like, "Who are you cussing? Are you cussing out your boyfriend?" And I was like, baby, you can't use the cuss words like that around no man. You can't treat him like that. He's like, but he was doing like that. And I was like, baby. Can't do that to no dude. Okay, you gotta treat him like you want to be treated. And she was like, no. I was like, you know what? Fine. He stick around, so he must love. Mm-hmm. So I feel so, so sorry. I completely and totally understand where you're coming from, because I have two of them, and they both they both are not nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be a handful. I keep saying that I just empathize so deeply for whoever this young man is. Whenever he comes into her life, he needs prayer.
Hey, sometimes you gotta be like, hey, bro.
Well, fight the good fight, brother.
It's you. It's gonna be you, huh? All right, man. All right. It's gonna be you, huh, bro? Okay, that's cool.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, there is one question that Harvey tends to ask, but I think I'm gonna ask it, and I'm gonna try to mold it to fit the situation. But seeing as how you wound up in the position of being the single black dad, okay, owner of singleblackdad.com.
bought it 2019, yeah.
Ease, new, untouched.
Exactly.
Right.
As a single black dad, is there anything that you would say has definitely any one quality, characteristic, or trait that you would say you've definitely gained as a result of your experience as being a single black dad that you think you would not have gotten if you were not single parenting?
Patience. I mean, I didn't, if I got irritated, if I had a thin skin, if I got frustrated really easily with, if I had failure, if I bumped my head, then I would be concerned. So patience with my daughters, patience with myself, patience with our process, because where we started from to where we are now is just nothing short of the war. So patience, and that's the biggest thing that I've gained from being in situations.
Excellent. Yeah.
Excellent. I hear you. Yes, I agree. You know, I feel like I was patient early.
Yes, he was.
I was just early. Then more time I spent with them, they were chipping away.
Yes.
Slowly at the patience.
Yeah. One emphasis on past tense.
Yes. Wow. Thanks. You're so supportive today.
I am. That's where you were going.
That's where you were going.
Where I was going. You know where I was going. It wasn't that room. No, I still love being a father, but yes, your children will try you.
They will try you. And the situation is just like with, you know, with hair or pads or whatever, just like accepted that I don't know stuff, but me having patience and them having patience with me to know that, you know what, okay, daddy really wasn't cut out for all this, but he tried to make do. So patience all the way around for all this.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jamal, for being with us. I think that, you know, there's been so much that's come out of this episode, and a lot of laughs, a lot of fun, but a lot of learning as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, you're definitely changing the perspective.
Yeah,
that's what I was looking for. Changing the perspective on single black dads. And so thank you for shedding a light on something that isn't really talked about. It shouldn't have been 2019 that, you know, that's so crazy.
Who knew?
Right? Yeah, like this novel idea about the single black father. That's pretty crazy. But I'm glad somebody like you was able to jump on that, and you are a good representation of thank what you. Being a father that. Is. So I'm glad to see you out there.
I appreciate
so that. If anybody wants to, and we'll put notes in here for your book or anything, if anybody wants to kind of follow you on social media, this is the time. How would they find you? What's your info?
Single Black Dads. Single Black Dads is the business page. Sorry, it's the Facebook page. Also the website, like you mentioned, singleblackdad.com. All of the book that I wrote started out as blog posts. I just took the blogs and made longer because people's attention for a blog is not like for a book. Yeah, I got like 3 good minutes of blog, right?
Yeah.
So I just took the blogs, expounded, wrote more content, and I made a book. But if you want to read the original blogs, and I'm still writing blogs here and there, please go to website singleblackdad.com.
Excellent.
Sounds good. Fantastic. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Such a blessing having you on with us.
Thank you.
And Harvey, I think We have definitely come to the conclusion after this wonderful talk that love is fatherhood.
Love is fatherhood. I like that.
Love is many things.
But this good love is Black.
Thanks for listening to the Love is Black podcast.
Please help support the podcast by subscribing and leaving a review.
And connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Love is Black Podcast.
See you next week.